This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And a good Saturday morning to you. This one happens to be the 6th of September, and we are at the front end of a very busy hour, as usual, every week. We call it Smart Garden, and Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering all of those lawn and garden questions this very morning. Mary, good morning. I know she's there.
Oh, where am I? Good
there
morning.
She is.
Can you hear me? Wonderful. Good. Good morning, Denny. Great to hear your voice.
You made my heart go a little pitter-patter. I'm glad you're there.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you sound great, and it's always fun having you on here. And of course, as you know, Mary, even before the show begins, we already have some text messages sent to us. By all means, you can call Mary if you like to ask her your lawn and garden question, either by phone or just send a text, 651-461-9226. Well, we've had some chilly weather, Mary, this week, and I don't know what's happened to some of our outdoor plants and vegetables.
Yeah, a little bit slower, right?
Yeah.
Things are growing a little bit slower when it's cool. Some of our vegetables do like cool weather, but certainly a slowdown for ripening tomatoes, cucumbers, pumpkins, things like that. They would rather have warmer weather. We have a couple more days, and then I think we'll have better temperatures. But so far, at least for the metro area and central southern Minnesota, no frost yet, right?
Yes. And in fact, in looking and hearing Al's forecast, looking at the forecast, it looks like highs in the mid-70s, maybe even a couple of upper 70-degree readings this coming week. So kind of more normal September
normal
weather for this.
Yes.
Yeah, we like
That's
to see
good.
That. I'm looking at a text. Were you going to say something before I jump in?
No, just we always have gardening chores, so I'm happy to talk about what you can do in September now for gardening. Well, of course, our lawns. This is a big deal to be working on your lawn now. If you want to do any reseeding, lawn repair, aeration, and so on, September, early September, especially a great time to be doing that. We get a lot of questions about peonies, our beautiful peonies that we grow in Minnesota. And if you want to move a peony, this is a good time to do that. So that's on my list to do today. And then cleaning up in harvesting and cleaning up in your vegetable garden, removing any diseased plants, anything like powdery mildew, if you have powdery mildew on squash or pumpkins, and the harvesting, you could think about harvesting those crops and then removing the diseased ones from the garden.
All right, very good. Phone call, let's do that. I see Todd and Ramsey's checking in this morning. Good morning, Todd. What is your question for Mary?
Good morning, and thanks for taking the call. About 5 or 7 years ago, I received some phlox from a friend and planted them, and every year for all those years, we've had great, big, beautiful fuchsia-colored flowers. We planted them in an area that they were surrounded by rocks to kind of contain them a little bit. and they've just thrived. But this year, a patch of phlox appeared that are a different color. They're the same fuchsia color at the center of each flower bud, but then they change to a much lighter color on the outside, and they were never those colors before. How does that happen?
Well, I think what's happened, Todd, is that the phlox has self-seeded. So you had some new individuals come from seeds from that original phlox. And phlox is a tremendous self-seeder, so it will start new plants around. And it does this quite easily so that the colors can change, because these are actually different plants than the ones that you planted. Phlox can really take over an area. Sometimes you see this in older homes or where a garden hasn't been maintained. You'll have a lot of phlox, and they are beautiful, and they are good for pollinators and butterflies like them. But they do have a tendency to take over. So if you like the new colors, that's great. You can actually transplant them or leave them where they are. But it's from self-seeding.
Okay, very good. Texter sent this in early this morning. When's the best time of year to move a fern?
I would move a fern early in the spring. The first through May and through early June is really the best time. You could try it now. We'd like to have a month of good growing conditions after you move a plant, and hopefully we will still have that. So if you had to do it now, you could do that. You probably need to cut back the top by one half, because you'll lose quite a bit of the roots. But spring is really ideal.
Listener Mary via text says, I'm having this problem on a brand new peach tree planted this spring. They don't say what the problem is. Could you possibly tell me what's going on? I wonder
what the problem could be. Let's guess what the problem is. Peaches are really wonderful. If you can grow these in Minnesota, so there are only a couple of peaches developed by the University of Minnesota or Canada that you can grow in Minnesota. The peaches are smaller. They usually ripen closer to the end of July or the beginning of August. But peaches are not easy to grow. And those plants in the Prunus family have a lot of issues, and they are short-lived. So my recommendation would be that you go to the extension.umn.edu website and look up peaches and peach problems, or stone fruits, those fruits that have a stone like a pit in the middle. They have similar disease issues. So they take quite a bit of care. And those darn Prunus, they can just up and die for no reason. So they're difficult.
I was going to ask you about, you and I have talked over the years about Meyer lemon trees. And I'm looking at a text thinking it's time to prep. Texter says, my Meyer lemon and lime trees for inside life. Both are full of fruit. Wow. Other than spraying for bugs, is there anything else I should be doing? Fertilize anything with the soil?
Mostly the inspection for the insects. That is really it. Now, you know, actually Meyer lemon and those limes, it's almost easier to grow those in Minnesota than it is peaches, I think. But we, of course, keep them indoors in the wintertime. And as soon as it gets in the 40s, they need protection, or you need to bring them back inside. But they need high light conditions, and they are pretty much heavy feeders. So if you have them in bright light conditions, sunlight in the wintertime, you can give them some fertilizer every week or two would be fine. You can usually tell that because the younger leaves are light green. So you really want a darker green color. But if you can, you can actually buy citrus fertilizer and dry fertilizer that's for citrus plants. That is helpful as well.
You've had good luck. We've tried it a few years ago, and it was okay for a while, but I can't remember why it succumbed. What's a common problem with the Meyer lemon?
With Meyer lemons? Yeah, probably just lack of light. Because they need a lot of, I don't know that you can give them too much light in the winter in Minnesota. Our days are short and so many cloudy days. They just need as much light as you can give them.
That explains it. Okay. Well, let's do this, Mary. Let's take a break and come right back on the other side with more text questions. And if you want to call in your lawn or garden question, that'd be great, too. 651-461-9226. Our Smart Garden Show is brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Danny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the U of M, answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have this morning. And as usual, Mary, there are many. I always like to remind folks, too, if you want to get some good reading in, and you don't have to wait till the dead of winter when it's too cold outside, any time of the year is a great time to check in with the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. So much love and work has gone into that, and there's so much information. You could spend months reading that stuff.
Yes, that is definitely right, Denny, and there's always new information. Currently, if you look on that, you'll find the checklist for gardening things to do. We were talking about some things I'm going to be doing earlier. And the front page now for Extension website has a reminder about the Master Gardener program. If you want to become a Master Gardener, and this is the time to apply. Right now, the application deadline is October 1st. And this is applies throughout the state. If you're interested in doing this, you go to your local county is where you actually make your application, and the program is administered through your local county. But the training is in the winter time, and it's all online now, the training for the Master Gardener program. So you hear us talking about Master Gardeners and how they are great volunteers for Extension. So if any of our listeners are interested in that, this is the time to check that out.
That's great. Yeah, perfect timing, October 1st. Yeah, we did talk about that last week, and that's. I wonder how many men are interested in that, because we hear a lot of ladies, but I think there are a lot of guys too.
Oh yeah, there are a lot of guys. There are over 3,000 Master Gardeners now in the state, and so yes, I love that program. I used to be the director of the program many years ago, and then I was an instructor, of course, for a long time. But it is really a wonderful way to connect with your community, learn about gardening, but also the community volunteerism really is great. And because there are so many Master Gardeners and they're in counties, they really provide wonderful service for people.
Oh, for sure they do. Great educators. Good morning. Texter says, last week on the show, you said you could place leaves of rhubarb by the roots to prevent weeds. Could you place the leaves under other plants as well?
You can do that. Rhubarb is huge. Those leaves are great big. And so, yes, you can lay those. I usually turn them upside down. Then they lay flat on the ground. And, yes, you can do that. That's any type of a mulch like that. The organic mulches cover up the soil so that weeds can't germinate. And, you know, up until, recently, we had so much rain this summer. This was just a tremendous year for weeds to grow because of the rain we had throughout the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, it was great. Here's a good lawn question here. Is it too late to plant grass this week?
Grass seed? No, that's great to do that now. We think the ideal time is August 15th to September 15th. So we are the end is coming up here, but that is really the ideal time. Usually we have cooler temperatures now in the fall, and that is helpful for seed to germinate, and the weeds are not as likely to germinate and be competitors. So for our climate, the ideal time is right now for sowing grass seed. We have a great article on what kind of seed you should use and even where you can buy the seed. So grass seed can be expensive, and that actually expense is a good sign of good seed.
Absolutely. Yeah, you do get what you pay for with grass seed, for sure. And you know what else I think I'm going to, and I know we'll be talking about it, and I know John Trappi is a big fan of dormant seeding.
Oh, yes. That's coming up, Denny, whether we like it or not.
I don't want to push the season here, but it's true. Texter says this, Mary, my peonies have large, dark, almost black spots. Do I cut those off? My yellow peony has none of those spots. What's the difference between the yellow?
Yeah, the yellow might be one of the hybrid or tree peonies, but beautiful. They are not as susceptible to botrytis. Botrytis is a foliar disease that peonies get. And many times by this time of year, yeah, those black spots will start, and then pretty soon you'll have more black on the leaves than you do green. So a lot of people cut down their peonies. Once they get to be less green and more black, they will just cut them down, clean them up in the fall. So that's a way of removing those disease from the garden. I have not done that yet. There are some black spots on my peony, but I try to leave it up as long as possible. But that's one of the things that if you have diseased plants and you clean them up, remove them from your garden, that helps with the disease the following year.
You're good. When, Texter says, is it time to plant hydrangeas? And which type is the easiest to grow?
Well, there's so many different types of hydrangeas now. You could probably do fall planting if you're buying a container plant and do that right now, because the container plant will have a good root system, and then if you can water it into the fall. Most hydrangeas are there are three big kinds of hydrangeas that we grow, three different species, and they have different sizes. The paniculata, the big kind of tree-like, the bigger ones that have more like an ice cream cone look to their flower. Paniculata is a very good one. And then the smooth hydrangea arborescens, that is Limelight and Annabelle. That's a very hardy hydrangea. The more difficult ones for us to grow are the Macrophylla, which tends to be the smallest hydrangea, but those are the ones that have the multiple colors, and that's what there's a lot of new breeding on. We have a lot of information on hydrangeas and description of those three different kinds, the three main hardy ones. That's up on the extension.umn.edu website.
I'm looking at a related question. When's the best time to move an Annabelle?
Yeah, moving it is a little bit harder than planting a new one, because you've got to hope you're going to get the root system. So Annabelle's that smooth hydrangea, and that one, that's getting to be a bigger plant with a bigger root system. If that was mine, I would not do it until the spring. If you're moving or you have some reason you have to do it now, I would just try to get as much of the roots as possible, maybe cut the top back in half, keep it well watered after you move it. So you could do it now, but I'd wait until the spring if you can.
Very good. Hang on, please, Mary. We're going to take a break for that weather forecast and be right back with about another half hour of the show to go. 651-461-9226 for your lawn and garden question, either by phone or by text. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the U of M. Mary, I was just thinking, in fact, I didn't make it this week, but maybe next week I was going to make a trip midweek to the Arboretum. Just kind of do a drive-through. What do you call that? The 3 mile, 5 mile, whatever
it is. 3 mile drive.
Yeah, it's really a great drive. And for those that maybe don't have a whole lot of time but just want to see some great things, what can we see there now?
Well, there's so much going on at the Arboretum. The Apple House has opened now, and the early apples, First Kiss, Sweet Tango, Zestar, and some of the named ones, you can taste the ones coming up through the breeding lines out there at the Apple House. So that's open from 9 to 6, and it's outside the Arboretum proper, so you don't need admission tickets or anything. It's open to the public pretty much every day now. And there's a call-in line where you can call and see what apples are do they have for sale that day. So that's nice as well. But if you go to the Arboretum, that's ticket entry, and you can get tickets online. That's very easy to do. The Arboretum has a field fest today, which is a big deal out at the farm, where they're harvesting the sugar beets. Digging up the sugar beets, and they'll be weighing those and looking for the giant sugar beets. Lots of fun things to taste at the farm and see. I heard they were going to do a maze through the popcorn field. So, yeah. That should be fun. But yes, if you just go to the Arboretum and drive, the very first of the fall color is starting to come now. And, you know, I don't think, Denny, people that realize that the fall is really one of the peak times for Arboretum visitorship. So we do get busy, yes, with September and October. It's a near the Twin Cities place to see great fall color because of the maple basswood forest that's there. So, but yes, wonderful to drive on. The annual garden is so spectacular with the bright citrus colors that are there this year. Lots to see. There's a full moon walk tonight. The full moon is out, so maybe a little chilly for tonight, but a fall-like thing to do. So lots of events, lots of things happening at the Arboretum. Just go to the website, get your tickets, and a wonderful place to enjoy all the wonders of nature at the Arboretum.
Yeah, so get your ticket. You got to go online. And
yes.
But it makes it
easy
so easy
to do.
Very easy. Mm-hmm. All right. Back to the text messages and phone calls here on our Smart Garden Show. Here's a text that came in a bit ago. My Monarda bergamot blooms are done and the plant has white on the leaves. Should I clean this up?
Yes, this is powdery mildew, and this has been a really good year for powdery mildew with higher humidity. You know, we've had some really humid nights even. So that, yeah, powdery mildew. If the plants are totally white, yes, you could clean those up and cut those down. If there's more green than there is white, I would leave them alone. But it's a combination of plants that are very susceptible, and then weather conditions. There are types of powdery mildew. There are types of Monarda that don't get powdery mildew as much. So you can look for disease-resistant kinds as well.
As you know, Mary, we get a lot of texts and sometimes phone calls about lilac bushes this year, this season,
yes,
last year too. This texter says they've lost all their leaves. The bark is now peeling off. Does this mean they're going to die?
It's not a good sign, that's for sure. We know now that there are several foliar diseases that have troubled lilacs in the past couple of years. They seem to be more prevalent now that we are in hot weather conditions. We'll have more hot days. Lilacs really like cool weather conditions. You don't really find lilacs in southern United States because they don't like the hot weather. So the weather has increased the disease pressure that lilacs have. So I would wait till the spring to decide if the plant is really dead to take it out. But then I would think about buying lilacs that are some of the different kinds of lilacs. There are several different species. And there's some lilacs, Miss Kim, K-I-M. Miss Kim is one of the kinds that has smaller leaves. It flowers later, but it very much is a very fragrant lilac. It looks like the other lilacs do, but it doesn't seem to get as many of these disease issues. So think about getting a different diversity of lilacs.
Very good. Listener wants to know, how often should you repot indoor plants?
You know, it really depends on how healthy the plants are and how they're doing growing-wise. There are some plants, many of our houseplants, that really like to be pot-bound. And a jade plant likes that. The clivia or clivia, they like to be pot-bound. Agapanthus does also. So if the plant is growing fine, I would not worry about it. If it's possible, you can turn it over and take the pot off and actually look at the root system. And if you can't see any soil and all you see are roots, then you might consider repotting it. And then if you're really doing a good job, you get to the point where the plants get so big you don't want to repot them anymore because they're just too big to take care of, and maybe you cut back the tops.
Okay. Maria, a listener wants to know if you have heard about a virus in hostas.
Well, yes, I have, but we haven't really talked about it for several years.
Really?
What's happened to that old Virus X? Yeah, there was a virus issue that was a real big problem with Hosta. And boy, for years we were talking about it. Now I haven't heard anybody talk about it or say anything for, what, 5 years at least?
So has
what
it disappeared?
The heck has happened about that? Has it disappeared? Well, probably not. I think we probably found more. Growers probably cleaned it up, is my guess, so that what they were selling was clean material, didn't have the virus at all in it, so we don't see it as much anymore. That's a great question. But if you think you might have a virus disease in your garden, yes, I'm going to go to the Extension website and look that up. You basically have to get rid of that plant.
Oh,
you have
wow.
to remove it from your garden and get rid of it. That is really it's a cleanliness thing. But yeah, that is a great question. I'm going to look it up, Denny, and we'll
in
talk
about 5 minutes,
again.
We'll take a break. And during that time, you can do a little homework then if you like.
Yeah.
Thank you for the program. Texter says, I planted organic butternut squash seed. The plants look great with many flowers, but only 3 large butternut developed from 12 plants. Zucchini and yellow squash growing in the same garden remain abundant. Can you explain the butternut failures?
Well, all I can really say is it might be due to the weather conditions. The squash are very sensitive to too hot or too cold weather conditions, lack of pollinators. If there is the weather conditions aren't good for the pollinators, that's really frustrating because the butternut can take up quite a bit of room. It's a big thing. We wait all summer for it, and then to have so few plants, it's tough. Full sun is another thing. This gardener probably has a garden in full sun if the zucchinis are producing well. But I noticed with the really hot days that we had a while ago, I didn't get any zucchinis. And now I have a ton of zucchinis again that my grandson and I have been picking. So, yes, I can't, other than the weather, I think that's my explanation.
Looking at a text that I assume they mean lawns. Hello, when is the best time for fall fertilizing?
Yes, that's right now. Yeah. This fall fertilizer is the time to do it. It's better to do it now than in the spring. We used to talk about a couple times in the fall, doing it twice, but I think I'd have to see if John is still recommending maybe twice if you really have a high maintenance lawn. But once in the fall, this is the ideal time, which reminds me, I haven't bought any fall fertilizer yet to put on.
I haven't either. I've been thinking about it, but then I forget about it. But John, I think you're right. And I wonder why fall is more important than spring.
It's because our cool season grasses really put down a lot of growth in the fall, especially root growth. So if you enhance that with fertilizer, that's really good. I often use milorganite as a fertilizer. I've used a lot because that's an organic source of slow-release nitrogen. It needs a warm weather, though, really to activate that and to have that work well. But, yeah, so I need to be buying fertilizer.
Yeah,
other
I'm
thing
with
on
you
my
there.
Gardening list.
I might do that today. Before we break, when should endless summer hydrangeas be cut back?
Oh, I dread this question, Denny, because endless summer is a difficult hydrangea to grow. And I don't think you should really ever worry about cutting it back because it blooms on last year's wood, and sometimes it can bloom on this year's wood. And so you can often mistakenly cut off the blooms. So I usually recommend with people, don't worry about pruning your endless summer hydrangea. The real problem is getting your endless summer to bloom at all. And that's the more problematic hydrangea. If you go with Annabelle or you go with like vanilla strawberry, the paniculata or the smooth hydrangeas, those will always bloom for you. But endless summer is more difficult.
All right, Mary, I'm going to take a break here, a quick one. Maybe if you want to do a look back on that hostavirus. We'll talk about that when we come back and answer some more questions here on a Smart Garden Show this morning, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us, please. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show this morning. Mary Meyer from the U of M answering those questions for you, either by phone or by text as usual, 651-461-9226. Did you find out anything about that hostavirus, Mary?
Yes, I did, Denny. I think it's simply an awareness, and the growers have eliminated most of it from their stock or growing the plants that we would buy. So there are some good pictures up on the website about what infected virus-laden hosta look like. And they're mottled. They basically have yellow spots on them. But still, the only way to get rid of this is to destroy the plants. So remove them from your garden and get rid of them. And I think that growers have done a good job of eliminating the plants that are diseased, so that you just have to make sure that when you buy the plants, they look healthy, the leaves are not speckled or spotted in any way. So that's it.
All right. Great. Thanks for checking on that. A listener wants to know via text, will my lilies come back next year after being infested with the red lily beetle? Anything I should do for the lilies now?
Hopefully, yes, they will, because lilies are a bulb and they have a lot of stored food at the base. So hopefully they will come back, but you'll just have to wait and see. Depending on what kind of lilies they are, some lilies actually increase in our climate. Others are less hardy and will decrease. But if they don't come back, I would encourage you to buy additional bulbs again, because lilies many lilies can grow very well for us.
Okay. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Jeff is calling in from Hutch, I do believe. Hi, Jeff. What is your question for Mary?
Yeah, my question is this a good time of year to divide hostas and replant them?
Yes, hostas are really tough, and so you can divide them and replant them now. Depending on how old they are, if they're really big, old plants, it's difficult to cut them apart. You have to use a shovel, a knife, or something. If the plants are younger, sometimes you can just pull them apart with your hands and their big roots will separate. So just try to do as little damage to the roots as possible. But yes, you can. Hostas are so tough, you can pretty much move them, divide them any time of year.
Very good. A listener heard us mention yellow peonies, and they would want to know, how would I ask for one at a nursery?
So the yellow peonies are these hybrid peonies, and pretty much the fact that you're asking for yellow means that's the more unusual kind of peonies. But they are the sometimes called tree peonies, or I'm trying to remember the exact name of this. ITOH, ITO hybrid peonies. These are pretty pricey. They're really beautiful, but they are the ITO peonies or hybrid peonies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This listener recently purchased some Meadow Blazing Star New England asters to add some late summer blooms to my perennial flower garden. Some of the bulbs on the plants were partially pushed above the dirt when they were in the containers when I bought them. Is that how they should be planted, or should I bury the bulbs completely?
They're usually buried. Those are corms that are on the Blazing Star, and they're usually buried, so they're not real deep, but I would say 3 inches or so deep is how you should plant them.
Okay. Listener said via text that my lawn was regraded and hydroseeded in 2010. The lawn is healthy and thick but extremely bumpy. I've tried aerating and rolling, but no luck in fixing the bumps. What else can I do?
I'm not sure there's anything that you can do. You've tried rolling it And yeah. So if it looks good, that just might be something that you have to live with.
Could it be earthworms again on that?
It could be. It could be. It could be other, moles looking for the grubs that are in the ground. And sometimes those are just tunnels that are pushed up and then that can cause the lawn to be bumpy. But if really it's green and it looks good, you are probably the only one who knows how bumpy it is when you're walking over it. So
or mowing, yeah.
Yeah, or mowing, yeah.
Tell us again about the Master Gardener program before we run out of time.
Oh, yeah. So if you would like to be a volunteer with a Master Gardener program, this is the time to apply. You can apply between now and October 1st. So you apply in your local county, and then you actually do your volunteer work usually in your local county. But the training that you take after you fill out the application, there's training that's online in the winter. So the training starts in January, and there's a certain number of hours of training, et cetera. And then you do volunteer work by working with horticulture and gardening with your local extension service. So people are often hear about the Master Gardener program, and this is the time, if you're interested, to look up and actually put in an application. So you can do that by going to the extension website, extension.umn.edu.
Very good. I think we have time for one, maybe two more. This texter says, I have a major project and need your advice. 2 years ago, I had 2 30-foot-high pine trees removed. The roots were ground out. Now I'm pulling weeds that accumulated, and hopefully this coming spring I can plant perhaps a hydrangea as a centerpiece. I was thinking of hitting the ground area with a weed killer and covering it over the winter with plastic in hopes all the roots will be dead come spring. Is this a good plan?
Well, if you're worried, I think the person is worried about the roots of the pine trees that were there still being a problem. And I wouldn't worry about that. 2 years ago, they were taken out. You might see some mushrooms grow from those roots, but otherwise they will continue to decline. And I wouldn't worry about that. So you could, if you've had a lot of weeds in the past, you could maybe cover it up, but I'd wait to see what happens next year. Maybe if you're planting hydrangeas, and then use a mulch, an organic mulch, to help with the weeds next year.
Very good. A listener wants to know, how important is it to aerate a lawn? Good question.
It depends really on the health of your lawn. I have aerated my own lawn only a couple of times, but I don't have a thick, lush lawn. Depending on what type of grass you have, Kentucky bluegrass tends to be very thick. And if you have an irrigation system and your lawn is very thick, aeration is a great thing to do, and this is the time of year to do it.
I think we have time maybe one more. A rabbit has eaten my lily down to the dirt two years in a row. You think it'll come back next year? In your crystal ball, what would you do?
It might come back, but if it hasn't been able to grow for a couple of years, that's difficult. Really, a barrier is the best thing with a rabbit. So some type of a fence or netting, wiring, some obstruction so that they can't get to the plants is really the best control.
I think we have time for another one. Also, are numerous mushrooms a sign of too much watering?
Not necessarily. The mushrooms really are a sign of organic matter decaying. So usually a root that's there, a branch, something in the soil that the mushrooms are living on. Moisture does help, and all the rain this summer would help the mushrooms to grow. But it's more likely just there's organic matter there rather than too much water.
Well, a couple of things to note before we say goodbye is get to the Arboretum. Such a great time of the year. And you said that's like one of the busiest, if not the busiest time of the year.
Yes, it gets busy because the fall color. It's a wonderful thing. And so many things are blooming there now. Yes.
So get to the Arb and also get to the university website, which is, Mary?
extension.umn.edu. You can get all your gardening questions answered there. You can even send in a question to Ask a Master Gardener.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great feature, too. Mary, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. Always fun to have you on the radio.
Yes, great to talk about gardening. Thank you, Denny.
Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota Extension.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.